Again. Okay, so second Khazara share. We're going to start by going over the Remegas. And just as an introduction to doing that, I pulled out a quote from the Rambam's Hakdama to Zraim, which is, Rambam has different Hakdamot within the Mishnah. Rav Shelat, who was recently appointed Rosh Yeshivat Birkat Moshe in Ma'ale Dumim, he has a beautiful sefer where he translated the Hakdamot of the Rambam from Judeo-Arabic into modern-ish Hebrew, and gave them a nice biur, and it's very nice printing. It's an excellent edition. I actually sent a link to the listserv of this. It's really great to study. Like, all the Hakdamot are much more in-depth than almost anything else that the Rambam has written on these subjects.
Joshua, should we follow along on your sheet or the Marakoma sheet? I'm a little confused.
Use my sheet, because my sheet is more... I've expanded on it. Like you'll see what I'm seeing, and we can talk about that. But you in Bishat Hatchak, you absolutely can use the old one. That will work. So the Remegas, he was a... I don't know. Okay. All right, the Remegas was a student, was the Rebbe of the Rambam's teacher. The Rambam says, okay, Masha Bali Adi, Bepirushe Avi, Zechonot Tzadik Berecha, Zulato mipira benu Yosef Halevi, ki sechel zeha ish betalmud mathli, Adonai hayodea, lemishit bonen bidvarav vehamakato ba'iyun, aj kimat omar alav, lefanav lo hayaken melech kamohu bidarko zo. Okay, so he says, my learning came from my father, and from the mouth of the Remegas, of Yosef Halevi, for the mind of this man in Talmud amazes, God knows, anyone who thinks about his words and the depth of his analyses, until they say there was never such a melech, I guess I should say king, such a king of this path. So we're going to continue on into the Remegas. Okay, so I put little quotation marks around where the Remegas is quoting from the Gemara, and then... and then he gives commentary on them. All right, so the first one we can do a little bit quickly. It's Dilma Ati Litra Shule. This is just a bit of an... In Shir, I suggested that Ati Litra Shule is a unique Torah value in the same way I suggest that Kinat Sofrim Tarbe Chochma is a unique Torah value. This works especially well within the Remegas because he's not talking about their quality as teachers, just as who knows the most Torah and what will contribute the most to people knowing the most Torah. That is to say, to you, to borrow the language of economists from Tova, there is normative agreement that there's this value of there should be more Torah. Everyone agrees that, like, prescriptively, that's what should be. There should be more Torah. But there is a positive, descriptive, principle disagreement as to how there should be more Torah. And so the first approach of how there should be more Torah is to prevent the teacher from forgetting Torah, because if we fire him, then he will come to forget Torah. And Rav Dini says, no, there would be more Torah if we fired him, because kinat sofrim tar bechokhma. Okay. Okay, so then the next part is more important for writing your tissue boats, unless you can do something really great with
that. I'm a little confused. You want to say that the Remegas, or the Remegash, whichever one you want, says that there's a value of learning Torah, or there's a value of Torah being learned.
Being known.
By people.
Yes,
right?
Jews.
By Jews. By more than one Jew. So we will take the guy who knows the most Torah, so he can teach us more Torah.
No, he's saying that there will be competition between the two, and they will go both and learn more Torah, and the result of that will be that more Torah will be known.
So why is that different than it's good that there should be good Torah teachers? Why are you formulated as Torah should be known as opposed to Torah should be taught well?
because that would one a different read of that sugya would be viewing the Dilmat Liter Shule and Kinat Sufrim Tabra Chokma as being in terms of how good these people are as at teaching or their pedagogy. But instead, in the Remegas, it seems to be all about how much Torah do they know. And I take off that the two things actually seem to line up very well. He's not saying that he'll become a worse pedagogue. Right. It's that he will become, he will forget his learning. The Remegas puts that in
so
explicitly.
So we don't care about other people learning Torah, do we? We care about this person knowing Torah.
No, I think we're agreeing that there should how should there be more Torah? That's the question. Is, do you want to prevent going back, or do we hope that we can always go forward? But they disagree as to how to do this.
Okay.
I think that's going on within the Remegas. Okay. Ellie?
What's nafkmina, whichever way you hold? If you
tons. Wait, what do you mean? Remember, there's a machloket in the Gemara as to what to do, and then there's different ways of viewing it.
I meant different ways of viewing it. Of viewing Tenetov and Tabachachim. I'm saying in the vocabulary that you're using positive and normative, or positive and descriptive.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that the way the Remegas read the Gemara is that Dilma Ati Liter Shule is a unique, that is a way of accomplishing this goal of having lots of Torah, and so is Kinat Sofrin Tar Bechokma.
So saying
they both agree on what the goal should be, they just disagree on how to get there.
Okay. And this language just tells us.
Mm-hmm.
And this language is how you classify these two things?
It's how your sister would.
I'm happy to discuss the difference between empirics and methods later, if anyone wants.
But apparently it's very economist-y. No, apparently.
Economistical is the...
Okay. All right, now we get...
I focus on the mystical.
Okay. Marchikin mitzuda tadag min hadad. Okay, so how should we do? Should we just read through and then read through? Or I guess we could just read through. Okay. So we're going to just take this line by line and like get everything out. Kilomar marchikin mitzuda tadag min mitzuda dayag ache ar kimele ritza tadag b'mayim. Alma matzi amar le hai dayag l'chavre ka pesakta le l'chiyutai. So the ta'ana of one fisherman to the other is kapasakta li l'chiyuti. He's doing this because it causes the example of the fish to line up well with Rav Huna's case with the mills, where the ta'ana of Rav Huna is kapasakta li l'chiyuti. So he's explaining how the two cases are similar at this point, at this juncture of his explanation. And so what's the result? The result is, Uma'akevale lemebad mitzuda achriti gabe mitzuta dile. You can stop him from setting up shop or setting up his nets right next to you. Hachanami matzi amar le. This is how he's explaining how this interpretation of how the two cases are similar supports Rav Huna. That's the case of the flour mill. Gabe rechaya dile. Can't put up a flour mill next to my flour mill. But then he skips to the end of the sugya, where we say, no, you can't, the example of the dagim doesn't work. Udechinan, I put this in quotation marks. Shani dagim diahavu saira. The case of the fish is different from the case of the flour mill because fish engage in syrah. Okay, so then, do we follow the basic path? Okay, now we go a little further. So now he explains his shita of what syrah is. Kilomar, Mishalchin, Shiluchin, Lirot et Lirot, Im Yesham Mitsuda Imlav, Ukashroi Mitsuda Harishona, Yodin Shesham Mitsuda Tarbe, Uborchin Meoto Makom, Kulo, Ve Ein Nechnasin Elav Klal. What happens is the fish send out scouts, and so then they realize that there are all these traps, and then they don't enter at all. Nimtza Oto Mitsuda, the extra Mitsuda, the extra traps, Mafseket Leilichyute Legamre. See, before he was saying that the taina is kapasakta lechiutai, that you're affecting my livelihood. And here he says the taina is a much more extreme taina. The taina is mafsakta lechiutai legamre. You are totally wiping out my fishing efforts because you've scared away all the fish. Okay? I use the phrase ruinous competition. Okay? According to the Rimegas, we learn from the case of the fish that ruinous competition is forbidden. Okay? Because you're causing all the fish to go away. And then he makes this extremely clear in the next paragraph, I guess which I can put in larger font, because I think it's extremely important, where he says, well, what would be the case if fish didn't send out scouts? Aval, ilu lohave yahavi saira. If only fish didn't send out little scouts, velohavu borchi no tomakom shnimsa shamo, shalone echaz ba'oto metsuda, afshar, shielchu bizo ha metsuda ha acheret, kimo bere chayim, sheafshar giyu, mikta anashim tochnin bizo, umikta tochnin bizo, velo pesakte le lechute klau. Yesh lomar shein ma'akev alav. So here the tricky part here is he used the word lo pesakte lechute klau. It's a little bit that kind of goes against all the other textual evidence. Is that we were talking about how it's good, it's okay to take away some of the other person's customers, but not all of them. And I hear he's kind of framing it in the opposite way. Yes?
I feel like, can you read it as like it feels like how I read what he's saying is, if you're, like, in the first case, you're taking away you're intentionally going and taking what someone else has. But in this case, where you're just setting yourself up as another option, then, like, we don't categorize that as, lechayotav at all. Like, we don't, not that you're not taking anything of his, but it doesn't at all any longer fall into the category of that. It's just, wherever they want to go, they'll go.
Ah, because that taina of kamsakta lechayotai, that's a good taina for Rav Huna, but we haven't accepted Rav Huna's framework yet.
Sure. I wasn't even thinking about it in context of Rav Huna, but just that, like,
yeah, that would make a lot of sense. That'd make a lot of sense. Ellie?
How do you translate the words mektas tochen bezu?
Some of the customers will use that tichina, that flour mill, and mektas tochen bezu. Some of the customers will use the other flour mill.
So essentially, he's raising the bar, saying that gezel is, we have to be ruinous.
He never called it gezel.
Why not gezel? But,
he never called it gezel. Rabino Gershom called it gezel. But he's talking about what is the isur of hurting someone else's livelihood. It's when you wipe them out completely with what I'm going to call a ruinous competition. But it's all framed in terms of, is this a case of mafsakta lelechiutai? Is this or is this not? It's not. He doesn't frame in terms of gezel, and that's a point that I will talk about with each of the sources that we do. Yes, Chaim? I mean that the first person loses all of their livelihood, and I think that's what's going on in the case of Mavui Satum, which we will get to. Okay. Mavoi Satum. Not just a non-profit in Israel that Esther Krauss works for, that does very good work advocating for Aguna. It's also the fish. Okay, everyone see the, like, lavender color text?
Yeah.
I agree.
It's more of an eggplant. Yeah.
Eggplant?
No, actually, it's definitely an eggplant.
All right. So this is where he makes it extremely, extremely clear that he's only talking about ruinous competition and not about competition that merely diminishes someone else's business. So this he just spells it out. So even though you are going to hurt the other person's business, you're going to be mafchit le'lechiyutai, the second person to come in on the scene against the person who was there first, who you could have considered to be the muchzak, he says to him, "You get what you get from heaven, and I get what I take what I get from heaven." And I want to suggest that this claim of we all get what God apportions out to us, what we might call like Bav Batra, Daf Yod Amud Aleph theology, that only works within the context of non-ruinous competition. Okay? Like, you don't have the ability to make this claim of, well, we all just get what God apportions out to us if you are engaged in wiping the other person out completely.
When you're referring to the Vatra Dafyud, talking about Mizama Tapsha Dav.
Yeah. But also it's also in Rosh Hashanah, it's like all over.
This theology that you're talking about, is that similar to like what the Yadar Matt brought up that we saw today about like in the beginning, like with the first line?
Yeah. Yeah, you see this actually in the ones, this is one of the justifications used to support competition in regimes in halakha.
Right.
They're saying there are situations where competition is okay because we're all just getting what we deserve from God.
They're saying that like if you're in their like physical location, then that is what is preventing your allotment from God or from heaven, whatever, to come to you.
Yeah, this claim doesn't get you out of when you're like actively causing bad to another person.
Okay.
Jenna?
I feel like we might get ourselves into trouble if we like distinguish them by saying one, you completely ruin the other person, and one, you don't. But like, I don't know, I still have a hunch, I don't think I can textually back this up necessarily, that like it's more about the methods and less about the end result. Like even in the Rimigas, like we're about to see him, if a bunch of outsiders come in with a better product and at a lower price, right, which he says is okay, it's gonna put someone out of business, right? I don't think it's that, like, but I think it's about, there's something that he sees, and I think, like, the most of what we've read, where there's, like, cheating and there's not cheating, right? And, like, if you don't cheat, and still you have a better product or whatever than someone else, and, like, none of them say this, but, like, I would think if it ends up putting them out of business, but you did it the right way, that, like, that's not your fault. That falls into the category of, well, God, you gave you what you that he gave you, and he gave me what he gave me.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Well, that you would be supported by the case of Mavoi Satum. The case of Mavoi Satum is where there's only one way, there's like a dead-end street.
Right.
The other person's shop is at the end of the dead-end street, and you set up shop at the beginning with a competing store.
Right.
So we assume you're going to take all the business from the other guy.
Right.
So that's about the method.
They stopped him from losing, right?
Yeah, we will stop him. And
okay.
their method is, I'm going to set up shop ahead of him.
Right.
Yaakov?
Just kind of building off of Jenna's point that the previous section of Nasata Le'Chayote is a category that he's using. Could we say that the Amati L'Chamai Paskulacha Mishmaya, that is a response to the claim of Nasata Le'Chayote, and he says, no, you are Paskumi Mishmaya. And we say that this isn't Paskul Pasculi Clavite Clal, this is Pasculi Mishmayo. And it's like a rhetorical point that he's using. And by categorizing the first one as a category, not necessarily a statement by the guy, we're trying to say that that he is removing himself from the category of the Pasculi Clavite and putting himself in this category of Pasculi Clavite Mishmayo.
It's a different pasuk.
I know
yeah.
It's a different pasuk, but it's the resonance that he's using it is, I'm saying it, it could be just a play on words in his mind.
But it seems
that
when he says machbit le'elachayutai, like that's fulfilling that purpose.
Right. No, but I'm saying the response to pasuk le'elachayutai would be pasuk le'elachayutai.
Right, and
but he uses, but the Rimi Gash is using this to answer to have a mafchit le'elachayutai.
But that's just what he's saying in the previous one. If some people will go to me, some people will go to you, and we don't say pasakta le'elachayutai, rather we say paskula le'elachayutai.
And I feel like the echoing of the mafchit le'elachayutai, like, also does that in saying, like, there's a way to lessen someone else's, like, livelihood that doesn't count as this category of masif
le'elachayutai.
Okay. I'm not sold on this. I'm just saying that this is what just popped up.
Okay. Yeah, that's possible. But, okay. Here we get... So, having read the sugya of the fish that way, now we have four key words in the Rimegas. Naktinen hashta mehai shmata. Okay? So this is kind of, in my mind, it's kind of parallel to the Rif saying the Hachi Sugya Deshmaisa. Okay? But some of the Rif will stop just telling you the parts of the Gemara that are Halakha L'Masa, and they'll say, and this is how you go through the Sugya. Start speaking about the topic. So what's going to happen here is that the Ri Megas is going to read the Sugya. He read, based on how he read the Sugya of the fish, he's going to treat that as the central sugya, the central shmua within the sugya, and he's going to use that to then reinterpret all of the different cases that we see. Okay? So the conclusion of the Rimegas is to take his read of the fish and then make that central to how he reads everything else. Avinom?
Do you have any theory as to why he would take the fish case, which is really an outlier and is nidche, just from the shot from the tie, it seems to be irrelevant. At the end of it,
I don't know, the Rimegas got smicha from the Rif.
And the Rif includes the fish story?
The Rif doesn't include the fish. The Rambam doesn't include the fish.
But
and
the fish in the Mishnah?
No, it's the Baraita on... Chaf Aleph Amud Bet in Bava Batra. Yeah, the fish don't make it to Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam, or the Rif. And so, what to make of that is not. Well, for the Rimegas, he's going to use it as like the foundation on which he's going to build his entire understanding of this entire sugya. Okay, Naktinan Hashta. So, like, now we take Mehai Shmata from this Shmua that we learned, and also Umimaisa Dehinu Dikulai IT Dikulai Lababel the Atu Bnei Matu V'Akve Alayahu, and the story of the sellers of baskets or pots, whatever. Umimaisa, but they were allowed to sell on market day. La'alma. Me'alma la'alma. Umimaisa dehinu amorai, the wool sellers, de'aitu imri lefum nara, v'atu b'nei matze v'ka'akvu alayhu. They were forced to stay in the city because they were trying to collect on some debt, and the b'nei of the ha'ir were, in both cases, they stopped them from selling. De'it lehu reshut livnei mata, la'kuve, so his principle is that the people of a city have reshut to stop people from another place from coming in to sell in their city. And then he starts qualifying it. first qualification is below Yoma Deshuka, va'afilu la'alma. Inami, livne mata, va'afilu b'yoma deshuka. So he says what they could do is they could prevent you from selling on an ordinary day to anyone in the city. And if they wanted to, they could prevent you from selling to locals within on a market day. So I wrote little ID cards. It's like, it would be within the power of the B'nai Matzah to create this legislation, but this is as far as they could go. Okay? So one of the things I like to emphasize in this Chazar Ashir is that, are the Rishonim talking about the default legislation that exists, and then if you want to create additional protections on top of them, the Rabbanan can? Or are the Rishonim saying that if you're going to make a takana that's protectionist, this is as far as you can go? Okay? Chaim? Yeah. Yeah, there are enforcement issues.
Wait, could you say your Sahira again?
Okay, the Sahira is... he's phrased it in terms of de'it lehu reshuta livne mata. I'll put that.
Which is the exact lashon that the Yad Ramah uses.
Yes. Yes. They say that the people of the city have the permission to create or enforce these ordinances. I'd say create them. Are they permission to create them? Implying that they can't go farther than that. And that these aren't the default. That you can show up and start selling. If someone comes to stop you in a way that's reasonable, then you have to stop. But they could never stop you from coming in on market day and selling to non-locals. That would be completely unreasonable. That there'd be limits on the takanot that could be created for the communal benefit. And, you know.
There are no limits.
No, there are limits. There are limits. You definitely see in the Mordechai, they talk about the Gzeirat Cherem, where they say, you know what, we need stronger protectionist powers. We need to make a Cherem saying you can't even come to live in our city. So they've gone beyond the default. And they've created these things. And I'll also contend that those positions assume that the protections are the default upon which you can build additional legislation if necessary. Okay? It's kind of like a double-headed Hakira. With, you know, huge nafkaminot for, like, when you use these sources. Right?
And you're saying we have to choose how we think it?
At the very least, these are assumptions that you should be aware of. Like, that you should be aware that the different sources have different assumptions as to how this works.
So but, like, you know, but like, each source has a clear assumption. Not that you can
yeah,
read each source.
Or even if, or if you wanted to argue against additional protectionism, you would cite the sources that limit it. And if you wanted to argue for a new takanot being created, and that's going to be one of the wild cards in this, like, writing the teshuva thing is, can you create new takanot in your teshuva? Or whatever. Could you create new takanot? So you might go wild with the people who they say there is no, this isn't a ceiling, this is a floor. And the way up is to create additional protections.
We're trying to work out this chakira.
Your chakira is it that they are protected except for a few outlying cases, or
who's protected?
The city sellers, by default,
or what?
This is what we're trying to work out.
Okay.
One side of your chakira is that their power
is that there are limits to how
farther.
How much protection could be created?
Right. Meaning they have Rishit only
in so far as
within these reasonable
right.
guidelines.
Below Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur, etc.
Those are the exceptions.
Those are the exceptions.
Those are the reasonable guidelines.
Right.
But you couldn't say that on Yom HaDeshukah you can't sell the Alma.
Right.
That would be ridiculous.
If you make an explicit takana, then they can sell even non-Yom HaDeshukah.
Yeah.
Are we saying these things
have to be created.
Ve'ilu
Rishuta. Like you have the permission to create such. Protection.
Are you saying those are the baselines, or is like here those the Yom HaDeshukah and Bnei Mata cases are the baselines, or the other option is those are as far as they extend, and we should not take them any more unreasonably than that.
Yes, that's it.
Okay, got it.
Is this a ceiling or the floor?
Okay. But you keep asking, but.
I think within the Rimegas he's saying this is a ceiling, but I believe that you will see other sources.
The reason
that will say that
it's
a floor.
The reason with the assumption is because he has an interest always in protecting the customers, and therefore he wants to limit the ability to limit competition that would potentially benefit customers.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's less. We have to, like, work that out.
But I mean, that's like a sadling tote.
Yeah, absolutely. He's thinking the Rimegas in general is going to bring up the Lokhim. Like one of the other point I want to make is that, you know, in the Sugya, there are two parties. There are the Mochrim and the other Mochrim. And the Rabbanan. We have to deal with this. But you in the Sugya, you never see the Lokhim as a party to the dispute. And the Rimegas, along with some of the other sources, bring in the Lokhim as a party that we have to be concerned about.
Historical note, is that the Riad Ramah was on the Toledo Beit Din with the son of the Rimegas.
Yes.
So there's a connection.
Yes, he was.
He's following a lot of the similar things.
Oh, if you look at the Yad Ramah and the Rimegas, I believe you will see that the Yad Ramah was heavily, heavily, heavily influenced, if not rewriting the Rimegas slightly. Because like you just line them up and just it's like the same thing. Now they have slight differences in their shitot because of how they express themselves, but it's the inyanim line up along with the keywords in the argumentation. Okay. Aval, lizvuni le la'alma b'yom HaDeshukah, leit lehu reshuta la'akuvei alayahu. They wouldn't have no permission to create a gzera that would prevent people from selling to non-locals on market day. Leit lehu reshuta la'akuvei alayahu. The Bnei Matzah could not stop these foreign mochrim. V'i. Itlahu ashrai b'matza. So this is now the case of the wool sellers. They came to the city because they had to sell. They had to collect on a debt. V'hu hadin l'chol mili degarim l'hu l'ikuve ba. This is the case for anything that causes a person to be stuck in the city. So this falls into the question of like refugees, but here it's being expressed in terms of. Why here rather than anywhere else? So within the Rimegas, you have to demonstrate that, you know, here is, you have to be here because you have business here. That's the way he does it. We'll see in the Mordechai, more explicitly, he's talking about people who are running away from something else. And so their business being here is that it's not over there in that war-torn area where the Crusaders are probably coming after them.
You're saying that they're allowed there specifically because otherwise they'll be suffering, or they'll be at some kind of loss.
Within the Rimegas?
Yeah.
Well, he's going to explain. He's going to say what the din is. These people, they have to collect on a debt here. So
are you saying that the Rimegas does not allow refugees to business?
I don't know. It's not as obvious because he doesn't address it directly. you could make that argument. Okay, so what and he says, what the din is, in this case, Yehavinan lehu reshuta lizvune ba shiur chiyutayahu adgavu shiur ashray didhu. They have the permission to engage to sell shiur chiyutayahu as much as they need to live or like make a normal parnasa or for enough or to buy enough food to eat and whatever adgavu shiur ashray didhu until they manage to collect on their shtar chov on their debt that they have here. Inami, what if they were here for reasons other than a debt? Ademistalak le hahu midi degarim le liikuve ba v'azli. Until the thing that caused them to be stuck here goes away, and then they leave. So when I was reading this, I thought he was talking about like the wheel on their wagon broke. So that's why they're stuck in town. They can't go somewhere else. So like with refugees and other things, like one of the arguments against them is called NIMBY, like not in my backyard. So the Rimegas isn't a defense against the NIMBY argument. Because he's saying as soon as they could go somewhere else, they should go somewhere else. Not in my backyard. Okay? Alright. So now we get to the first...
Question on that is like, at what point do you become a
Ben Nata? Yeah. So the only there in the Mordechai will deal with that question more explicitly.
The taxes don't come up at all, do they?
But it's still in the in law, and you would assume that you still have to be if an Akaga Bo Mati Mahakev, then that's clearly the
But I don't think taxes would come up like I think he would say is if they're here and paying taxes and they don't qualify in the I'm here because I need to be here. I qualify and I'm here because I moved here. Right?
Okay. So in the next paragraph we have a gigantic chiddush by the Rimegas. Chiddush, what I'm calling chiddush number one. Okay? And he says, Vulmibai iska dimit abraba hi mata dimakfialaihu delo ituye mimata achriti. Okay, don't ask about business or things that are created in this city that the people in this of the local merchants could stop external people from bringing them. Ella afilu iska delomit abda bahimata. Even goods that are not produced or sold within this city, the locals could prevent external people from coming in and selling them. Okay, so like. Just because you're missing a good or a service, that doesn't necessarily mean that you can have you can set up shop according to the Rimegas. The Ad Ramah disagrees. Okay?
Do you understand why he says that?
Ah, well, I can tell you why he believes this is true. Okay. That's coming up. He's going to prove why this is true.
Okay.
For him, for his purpose, for why he believes this is true. Okay? Nami, ki. Ita gabe bnei mata itluhu reshuta lekuvi alayhu de bnei mata achriti delole tuli uzvini le b'matayhu. Yeah, these people have the locals have the ability to stop the foreigners from coming in and selling these things. So even goods or services not being offered to the city can be stopped by the city residents from being sold. Yimuki Yosef goes against the Rimegas on this point, as I think with the Adorama. Rabbeinu Gershom would agree with the Rimegas because he talks about. Even if something isn't even done in this city. And so the alternative would have been that, you know, there are no local sellers to protect from competition against the new flying carpet industry, because there are no local producers of flying carpets. And how does he know this to be true? Deha Rochlin, the case of the Rochlin, the peddlers, Hamachzirin Ba'ayarot, Milta Yediyahu, so those peddlers, it is a known fact. Dehinhu midi de mizvini, that these people that sell, or what they sell, ef shar delate behu, my delomit avid bahi mata. Each itinerant peddler has something in their inventory which is not for sale in the town. And yet, without Takana Ezra, it wouldn't be permitted for these itinerant peddlers to sell.
Where does he see that in the text of the Gemara? That, like,
that he says it's a Devar Yidua. Milta Yidiahu. Everyone knows that itinerant peddlers, all of them have unique things in their inventory. V'afilu hachi, even though this being the case, Tama de Mishum Takanat Benot Yisrael, Kadesh Yutachshit Mitsuyan Lehu, Halav Hachi Matzi Lakuvi Alayahu. If Takana Ezra didn't exist, they could have been prevented from selling. Bum bum bum. Okay, so he believes that. But look what else he believes. And this is an even bigger chidush. This is chidush number two. Ella. Mihu mistabralan, dehani mili kulu hecha delecha peseda al halochim hu. This is only in a case. Actually, no. Ella mihu, however, mistabralan, it only makes sense to us, dehani mili, that these words, kulu, this whole inyan, it only applies hecha delecha peseda al halochim hu. Only when there is no loss to the customers. Okay, I want to, based on this, I just want to point out that for the remegas, missing out on a good or service is not considered a loss. Because if he considered it to be a loss, then he would have allowed it. Okay?
Wait, sorry, say that again.
According to the remegas, missing out on a good or service is not a loss. Because Hiddush number one is that just because you have a new good or service, that doesn't mean you have permission. And Hiddush number two is we only deny people permission when there is no loss to the customers.
Can you read the Tefanat in light of this, that like that specifically those things would be a loss and therefore there's a Tefanat for it?
Right, I feel like maybe you're taking one step too far. Not having something isn't necessarily a loss, but like Miriam said, like there might be certain things that if you don't have them, that is a loss.
Yeah, so I believe that the remegas would say that, like, if my car needs car parts, I could and there's no one selling those car parts in my city, but I could demonstrate that I'm losing out much more materially, so I need someone to come in and sell these car parts. So that person couldn't be stopped because I can demonstrate a loss.
I mean,
but
if
it's just
a random toy that nobody needs, isn't the right to come in and start selling?
Right, or you've been eating potatoes this whole time, and someone's coming and sell, someone wants to come in and sell bread. Well, that might be.
That's a serious one. Also avocado.
We'll have to see. Dragon fruit, star fruit, exotic fruits that are delicious and wonderful. Are we missing out?
Yes.
Or are we losing out by not having them?
But he does hold that once you're already offering a better service and someone else wants to offer better quality, it is losing out.
Yeah, we're getting there. Yeah, that's his definition of what a hefsed is. When an existing good could be offered for less but isn't. And we're gonna get there. Okay, kagon. Deshavu dami adadi, deshavu iske nami adadi. Delo mirvachi lochim midi. This is only in a case where the quality of the goods were the same and the prices of the goods are the same. In such a case, the remegas says, the buyers don't benefit. Delo mirvachi lochim midi. Okay, this is unlike the Nimuke Yosef, who has an economic theory of supply and demand, that if supply increases, the prices will go down, and the lokhim will benefit. Then he brings in the second party, or the third party, the Rabbanan. Ivdu Rabbanan takanata livne mata, ki hechi de lo lishayan iskayahu vlo tafsik lehu lechiutayahu. The rabbis only created their takana for the city dwellers in a situation where Shini Iskayahu is a bit difficult to translate. I don't really know what's going on there. V'lo tafsik lehu l'chiyutayahu. they only created these protections against people coming in and being posek there, of getting, like, interrupting or stopping, cutting off their living. Aval, hecha, deshavu lehu iskayahu lahadadi. But in a case where the two, the quality of the goods is equal, the lo shavin dami mahadadi, but someone's selling it for cheaper, oh, shavin dami mahadadi, the prices are the same, the lo shavu iske hadadi, but the quality of the goods is superior, then we don't automatically permit them to sell in the city. Within that was a conditional. Now we have to enter another conditional, a control statement of chazinan. We go take a look at the marketplace. Okay, ilokhim dehimata goyim ninhu, or not? We go check to see are the buyers Jewish or non-Jewish, because the Remegas has a public policy concern that he wants Jews to make money. This is, by the way, like the definition of discriminatory, because he's literally discriminating against people based on whether or not they're Jewish or not Jewish. Okay? Are people benefiting by like reading through the Remegas word for word? Okay, great. One person nods. That's fantastic. We're gonna keep doing this.
Yeah.
Very great. No, like it's like. Okay. Ilochin dahimata goyim minhu. If the buyers of the city are not Jewish, it luhu livnimata la kuve alayhu. Then the locals could stop the external merchants from selling goods of superior quality or at lower prices.
We assume the merchants here are Jewish.
Yes. Yeah. Actually, in the Mordechai, there will be explicit acknowledgement that you can't really enforce these laws on non-Jews. V'ilokhin dehimata Yisrael ninhu, but if the buyers of this city are Jewish, mistabra, then it makes sense, delime'abed, for us to create takanta, to create a takana, lemochrim, for the sellers, b'may de'ika peseda al halokhim, leitlan reshuta. I may have gone overboard with that, but it works.
Dramatic reading, as if they're reading
it. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, less dramatic is same thing. Mistavra delneva takanta lemochrim, but my deikap seda alokrim leitlan reshuta.
So the hierarchy goes: we care most about the Jewish consumers, and then we care about the Jewish merchants, and then non-Jewish consumers we don't really care about.
Jewish merchants of our city.
If the Jewish
merchants.
You have to go through the conditionals in order. So the external people. First, they have to offer goods of superior quality. And then, if they're able to do that, then if we have public policy concerns for the consumers, then we will allow them to compete with the local Jewish merchants. So, like, I'm thinking in terms of, like, conditional statements and, like, a program that, like, executes top to bottom. But that's just my thinking.
Just another question.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm just confused. Like, how does this like not just like contradict? Like, how can you just like make everything conditional and just be like, oh no, by the way, we're only talking about as it like when like it's different when it benefits the consumers. Everything is different. Like, how can you just do that?
He says that this makes sense. He uses the phrase mistabra, v'chen hadad note a lot. Like, his rhetoric is, this just makes sense. And that's part of how he inserts the lokhim, the
like
consumers, into the sugya when they don't appear there. What?
Like, that's how you read the Gemara.
You can't read the Gemara this way because lokhim don't appear in the Gemara.
Right. So
he has to presume their existence and then say what he thinks is reasonable about their existence. To bring them into the sugya.
So are you seeing that he's making a new takana, or that he's assuming that the original takana didn't extend that far?
I think he would tell you that this is what Jewish law is. He's not talking historically. He's saying this is what it is. You can't make takanot that are unreasonable. That would be ridiculous. We would never do that.
So basically, he's assuming that the original takanot did not extend that far.
I didn't say that. He does not assume that there's a previous takana that contradicts him.
By definition, if this takana didn't exist, if what he's saying did not exist, he's uprooting part of the original takana.
What's the original takana to begin with?
Yeah, I don't know what you mean. Okay.
The original takana is that you can't...
No, what there is no original takana.
Okay, the Mikashal that we're going inside of the Akira, that without the explicit...
Yeah, there is no original takana. There are choice. You have choices as to how much protections you can create. But there are limits on how much protections you can create. Maybe you should move closer to the front or something, or speak up. I'm sorry, but what did you say? There's no takana that you're allowed to.
It wasn't the takana that the people in that city, that the merchants in that city can stop competition if they want to. And now we're saying that they can't stop competition. That wouldn't be considered contradicting the original takana. To say that you take away a right that the residents originally that the merchants originally had.
No. He's saying that the rabbis create permission to block, and the rabbis, when they create the permission to block competition, this whole thing is a takana. It's not muvan me'elav as derech eretz. Rabbis say you can create takanot this far, and they invest the rabbis of the cities to enforce to determine what these laws should be, and they also say you can't go this far. There are limits on how far the rabbis could create these takanot.
So it's the rabbis of the city that are creating the takanot, not the merchants.
That's correct, because if it was up to the merchants would create takanot just to enrich themselves at the loss of everyone else.
No, the merchants can create a takana that they won't like competition in. I don't see anything wrong with that.
The Rimegas. For the Rimegas, there are three people here. There's the Lokhim and the Mochrim, and the Rabbanan are the ones making the takanot. Because people left to their own devices will make takanot in their favor.
How do you read the words? Theoretical words that Yesh Islidu Rishusa La'akuve. Lahu means the Rabbanan.
Yeah, I just want to get through the Rimegas right now. Okay. Hilkach, Kevan Ika Harvacha Lokrim. Since there would be benefit to the buyers who are Jewish, Lav Kol Kminayahu Demochrim. We don't all agree with the Mochrim. Okay? The Rimigas says that the Mochrim would love there to be additional protections, but we don't agree with them. What would they like to do? They would like to, dimitaknein linafshayahu. They would like to create a takana that benefits themselves. Umafsidi lachrini, and other people would lose out. Vichenami hada'anrinan besamuch, osa adam chanut bitzad chanuto shel chavero. So first he says that we don't allow sellers to create these takanot, because if they could, in all situations, they would cause the bokhim to lose out, and that would just be horrible. And then he says, that's the case of osa adam chanut bitzad chanuto shel chavero, that we allow competition of some kind. So it must be that one of the new chanut must have had perhaps lower prices or superior quality, and it was supplying Jews. Okay? This is what I meant by when I said the Rimegas is taking his read of the fish, and he's reading it into the sugya. So now that sugya of Osadam Chanut Besad Chanut Toshal Chavero, now that has fit into this paradigm. Okay. Then we get to the third chiddush. Barmata achriti matzime akev. So a person, two people in the same city, sounds like the din was they could, right, so one person from one city, one person from another city, look, Gemara says he could stop him from competing. Actually, I'll put that in quotes, why not? Because reading from Gemara. Hecha delecha harvacha detrai. Rina Gass has no kimta on that case. That's only when there is no benefit by making the price and the sha'ar go down. Dehahu midi de mizvin behu. Dehahu midi de mizvin behu. Yeah, this thing being sold. Yeah, it's a little tricky. Opposite case, though. Avalhecha de ika arvacha trai. When you make the price go down. Lo matzi ma'akev. Then, in that situation, a ben-ir could not prevent someone from another city from selling their wares. I guess, Chaim, I would translate ma'akev lehu as the merchant, ki'ilu, calls the cops. And the cops, in this case, would be the Rabbanan. So that's also your enforcement issue there. The merchants that are being competed with call on the rabbis and say, whoa, you got to come in and stop this. Okay?
But ultimately, it's up to the rabbis.
The rabbis have to make a reasonable assessment of the situation and then enforce the proper takanot. V'lo kol kaminei, dimitakin l'nafshe, umafsi l'chol b'nei mata. Yep. Lav kol kamine, we don't just agree with the mochrim. Dimitakin lenafshe, they would like to make takanot that just benefit them. Umafsi l'chol b'nei mata. There would be a disproportionate benefit. Oh, a few people, the mochrim would gain, and everyone else, kol b'nei mata, all the people in the city, would be mafsid. They would lose out. Vechen hadat noteh. The Rimegas he's saying this all from Svara. And he knows he's saying it all from Svara, because he thinks this is what makes perfect sense. And so then I just want to point out, like, the Rimegas, he has a theory of public policy. Like, he wants to, in these situations, he wants to cause these parties to benefit, and this is how he negotiates these competing concerns. But he doesn't have an economic theory. He doesn't say, you know, oh, if you bring in more goods than supply and demand, the prices will go down. He doesn't speculate about that. Ellie?
Can you just explain to me what you mean by public policy?
Yeah, he's like, this is how you should make or enforce laws.
And when you say non-economics, you mean he doesn't understand the mechanism of price?
Yeah, he's like, if the price goes down, then do this. If the price doesn't go down, then do this.
So he.
But he can't predict when those things will occur. And the Nebuchadnezzar Yosef takes him to task for this. Nimuki Yosef says, if more people come in, then the price will get down.
V'chein adat notah, it sounds like I mean, how can he institute laws if he doesn't know how the market will react?
No one understands the market, Ellie. It's a mysterious force.
Well, that's not.
He just says, if the result of a variable is X, do Y.
Right. He says, I've created a reasonable economic policy. Oh, sorry, reasonable public policy. Okay. Let's skip to the bottom, the last of the bolded lines, if we can. Okay, we'll skip to the last paragraph. Ha nami mistaber del inyan ak dume le litzurva rabbanan. In the case of giving the litzurva rabbanan, the rabbinical student or the young scholar, like the first shot at the market, lizvuni iskehu, to sell his stuff, or his product, kihecha delola akev, delo lifsol iske. We do that so that we give him permission to sell, and so that his stuff doesn't go bad. Aval, this is in italics, kihechi de lizvon biyoker, if he wants to sell his product at a higher price, then, again, chazinan. Chazinan is that control statement. E lokhim dehinahu midi goyim ninhu. We go try to see, are these people that he's selling to, are they non-Jewish? Inami Yisrael de zavni le lizvune legoyim maknitin le shuka. If a Jew comes in to sell to goyim at a higher price, so maknitin le shuka, which I think means you stop the other from selling and you give him a monopoly. The E Yisrael Dizavnile Linaf Shayahu Ninhu Tsovim Rabbanan Lo Chazi Lamaved Hachi Meshum De Avonhu Uchtiv Lo Yona Litzadik Kol Avon. If he's trying to sell to Jews, then we don't even give him permission to sell at all. We don't allow him to do that, because that is it's a sin. It's an avon to cause Jews to pay too much. Uchtiv lo yona letzadik kol avon. Can't cause the righteous Jews to suffer anything. Okay. That.
Or is it that you shouldn't have a tzaddik having an avon, and he's the tzaddik?
Yeah, but yona here is like the Isser of ona. Like harming someone monetarily by overcharging them.
I think he likes wordplay a lot more than you're giving him credit for.
Yeah, partially because he's Sephardi. Sephardi everything is very rich in wordplay.
Does eloquence find?
Yeah, well, you know, they read more Tanakh. You know. So they know more Hebrew literature than their Ashkenazi counterparts, with some exceptions.
Romanticization of
these are very real characteristics of their rabbinic literature.
This is all being recorded.
Okay. All right, the next source is the Aguda.
Myth of Sephardic.
We don't know. I didn't say anything about how I could learn. Okay, so the Aguda. What can I say within the Aguda? The Aguda starts off, okay. Aguda starts off by saying that the case of Tzur Rabbanan is that we allow... He says that if the Rochel is a Tzorvim Rabbanan, we would allow him to set up shop in the city. Okay, generally Rochlin aren't allowed to set up shop, even they are allowed to go door to door. But he says if it's a Tzorvim Rabbanan, then you would allow him. So that's a slight expansion of the permissions granted to young scholars. Okay? That's Rochlin Lachzirin Bayarot, Lo matzi ma'akevala, huh? V'animili la'aduru la'adui avalo la'akvui avalo la'akvui lo. Yivitzorim rabbanan, afilo la'akvui. So then he quotes the Sefer Avisaf, which is going to be very important in general this whole month. Ditzorim rabbanan, kovim b'nehir la'hatir lo yishuv. So he brings this issue of letting people come in to live. So Sefer Avisaf says, rabbinic young scholars, we force the current dwellers of the city to allow them to buy land and settle down. Diyesh lomar, delo gazru kadmonim, delo kehilchata. You should say that the kadmonim that created these gezerot and takanot, they didn't create things that are not against that are against halacha. The ein rishain b'nei ha'ir lahasia al kitzatan legabe. Okay, the people of the city don't have permission to, you know, metaphorically ride out to battle against these people and stop them from sitting. But he's also saying that b'nei ha'ir don't have permission to create takanot that go farther.
So, the thing of So is he saying that we make it like he's a resident and like is that like a loophole essentially? That we make him a resident, it's like he's able to sell.
I think this is a separate issue of being able to buy land in that we see in the Ashkenazi sources. We also see like the Cherem Hayishuv. That's an important discussion. Let me just check. Okay. So then he does the case of the Dikulai. Hinhu Dikulai, de Aitu Dikulai. Atu b'nei matan akvi alayhu, amar me'alma atu la'alma lizvenu. V'hanimili b'yom edeshuka, lizvuni b'shuka, aval lahaduri lo. And he says, okay, limited case, but they're only given permit, the external people are only given permission to sell in the shuk, but they can't go door to door to sell to the locals. However, I think this is a proof that he's saying that in the case of the Dikulai, the B'nai Ha'ir wanted to be ma'ak of them. Like, if they could have made such a takana, they would have. But they couldn't stop them. Because they were told, ma'al ma'atu la'al ma'lizbenu. There are limits. There's a ceiling to how far you can go, these takanot, and no farther. This is a scene. So, okay, then we have Perish Re, which is probably the same Re in the Mordechai, but we don't know who the Re is. If we could say it's Re Hazaken, that would be fascinating, because the Re is one of the most important Tosfot, and is a major authority. But if it's the Re Megas, then it's the Re Megas. It's not Tosfot. It doesn't give us insight into what the Re Hazaken held. So, Perish Re. Mikan mashma de biyom de shuka mutar ladam nochri lahalvot lakutim habaim imakom acher lashuk. Velo livne oto ha'ir. Vechen bechol, you read. So he's talking about this case that historically the Ashkenazim could only make money as money lenders. And so he's saying that he can only lend to non Jews who are from another city. Okay, that's the Avisaf. Okay, so now let's skip around with inside the Mordechai. Okay? Some important things in the Mordechai. Okay, and the first one. So the first issue in the Mordechai is that, because the same thing, Nira Lari. Inu Dikulai Daitu de Koli de Vavel, Nir Lari. Davka Shambani Ha'ir, Hamokrin wrote in the 10 Bizol, Kamo Elu Hamavim. That's only when the locals want to sell at the low price of the external competing out-of-towners. Hilkach, because they're willing to match the price, Yachul Akev al Elu Kadei Shimkru Hem Mehera. They can say, we want to sell at the same price, but time is important to us. So if we have to compete with someone else at the same price, it will take more time for us to sell our goods. And after all, time is money. Aval, im hayu rotzin liten yoter, yoker me'elu, ein yicholin la'akev. If the locals want to sell at a higher price, then just like the remegas, they can't stop the external people from coming in to sell. Sheyomru anshei ha'ir, the people of the city, the majority will say to the few local sellers, Anu rotzin liknot kemo she'elu notnim. We want to buy under the conditions as these people are giving us the goods. Vim titnu kemotan haretov. If you will sell to us under the same conditions as them, haretov, that'd be great. We would say, don't unload the boat, don't come in, stay out. We have our happy local merchants. Vim love, but if you aren't willing to meet their prices, bal korchem yimkru lanu. Against your wishes of the local merchants, those external merchants will sell to us. So this is a presumption of majority of some kind of, it's a presumption of majority rule, that you follow what you presume the majority would like, against the special interest group. Yaakov?
Do you think it's significant that Beit Din is not involved in this?
Maybe. Maybe.
Right. I think it's more of a Beit Din is willing to let matters be decided by the people on the streets.
I don't know, I'm reminded of the rabbi and fiddler on the roof who says, you're right, and the rest says, rabbi, the two contradict each other, and he says, you're right too. I don't know, maybe just the rabbis are supposed, maybe this is instruction, we are the rabbis reading this text, the rabbi is supposed to follow what we presume the majority of people would like. We don't actually wait for like a mob of people to say these words word for word. I assume if you assume that we wait for a mob of people to say this word for word, then that's a completely different read of this text, but I don't think it's going on. I just want to bring up here, like, whatever happened to that person that served Rabbi Yisrael Salant, the guy who's willing to sell at low, low prices to deliberately drive the other person out of business. If you take the perspective of the Lokhim, he's like some kind of economic hero, saving the buyers so much money.
No.
He's not.
Because he's just going to put them back up afterward.
Ah, he'll put them back. Well, if he's a traveling salesman...
He can't operate at a loss for that long, is the point.
If he's a traveling salesman, he won't be around. He's not establishing a monopoly.
Yeah, but it doesn't make sense for him to operate at a loss in one city. When's he going to make it back?
I don't know. It's unsustainable, for sure.
So you're saying that's just not going to happen?
Yeah. Like, I'm not going to charge the low cost unless I have a chance of making that money back up.
I mean, do any of these
Rishonim
care about
long-term?
Like,
yeah, that's, they don't
need to drive... It could be worse if I allow other people from other cities to come into my city for whatever reason. And yet, they still say it's better that those locals
go there. Mm-hmm. Well, those concerns might have been driving the Cherem Hayishuv. We could have said, like Halacha says, quote, doesn't offer enough protection. We need to have more. Because we've seen the long-term effects of free market capitalism ravage our city as the small mom-and-pop stores are driven out of town by the multinational corporations of Walmart. So we feel the need to treat the existing protections as a floor that we need to build up on and create even more protections. Veli nira, or velo nira, let's get this to really matter. Deha ein lahem din. Eva al elu hamavim. So he doesn't want to follow this. Since, well, these last two lines are somewhat cryptic. Ein lahem din ella al elu hamavim. On these people who are coming and bringing in from outside. some kind of demands. In support of this, he says, "V'sof perek hazahav pligi Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan im echad mehem hachenvanim yochol lifchot et hashar." So that's the Mishnah Bava Metzia. Rabbi Yehuda Omer lo yichlek hachenvani klayot vegozim latinokot yipnei shumar gilon levo etzlo v'chachamim matirin lo yivchot et hashar. Rabbi Yehuda said that v'chachamim omrim zachor latov. Question is, can anyone come and undermine the going prices? And Chachamim say, go for it. But it appears to be a machlok at Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon there. And I'm not exactly sure what he's saying. Because is he arguing against it? Probably he's arguing against it, but then how does the source that he cites argue against it? If you assume that we pass on the Rabbanon against Rabbi Yehuda in that case. Don't know. Okay, next Mordechai. V'chen mi sheyesh lo bayit v'chatzer ha-shotfim lo yiskor bo. Nir l'ri davka lo yiskara. Aval l'mochra shari. V'enu yachul ha-kev alav. So you can sell your mom-and-pop store to a multinational corporation in Walmart. V'tar hachi mishta aidina v'hadi lo keach. And so after this case, the buyer takes on the new status of being a local. Aval yachol akev milimkor la'ov de kochavim mishum delot zaita dina. You can stop someone from selling a house to a non-Jew because the non-Jew won't answer to the court of Beit Din. And you see that from the Or Zeruah is like one of the first people to talk about what exactly this means. Lo tzaita dina, that you can't enforce Jewish laws to them. You know, leish lilmod, mimaisa, demar ukva, damar lahu, livne chamva, mishum de lo tzaititu dinahu. He doesn't want to teach them anything because they don't come to court when you ask them to come. You can't enforce Jewish laws to them. Dafal gav de kaimalan shadin mitzvat asay. Afal pi ken b'makom shadam yodea she'inam nishvaim lo patoru milomar lahem dhadin. Okay, so, yeah. Okay, next Mordechai.
What was that Or Zeruah doing
there? I put it in.
Just
to explain what Zaita Dina is. Zaita Dina is they won't listen to Jewish court. So you'll have this neighbor who you won't be able to enforce Jewish law to. And that could cause you all these long-term problems. Amar Rav Huna, Hai Bar Mavoa, such a... someone who lives in the Mavui, yesh mekomot shedanin din marufia. So there's some places where we have this din of marufia. V'chen re'iti b'teshuvot Rabbeinu Yosef Tuv Elam. Then Yosef Tuv Elam, he is responsible for chasal sidur pesach kehilchato v'chol mishpato v'chukato. So he's a great Ashkenazi Rishon. We just don't know so much about him, but we have some stuff. So Teshuva Rabbeinu Yosef Tuv Elam is that we stop people from doing the marufia. Midamela ledagim dehavit zaida. Okay? So they say you can't take people's regular customers because it's just like the fish. Okay? Rashi interpreted the dagim as being a case as when the injured party was sure or batuach that they would receive the business. And the case of taking someone else's regular customer is similar to Rashi's understanding of the fish problem. Okay, the din of marufia, which we're going to spend all of next week on, is there's someone that you have a regular relationship with, can you peel them away? So there are some people, including Rabbi Yosef Tuv Elam, who compared it to the fish. Medamela ledagim dehavi tzaida. Okay. But that only works according to Rashi, who says that the case of the dagim is that you were batuach that the fish were going to come. V'yesh mekomot she'ein danin u'matirin l'Yisrael l'ilech l'merufya shel chaveru l'alvot lo u'lishkudei le de'ein kan gezel. The people who don't stop merufya, they say, what's the problem? There is no gezel. So those people are saying that the problem of the fish is Gezel, which is like what Rabbi Gershom said, not like Rashi said that you're batuach, you're going to get the business, the fish. Rabbeinu Gershom says, no, it's gezel. So the people who permit marufia, they say, this isn't gezel, stealing someone's regular customer. And they're going to provide an explanation as to why that is. But they're saying that... Where did I define it?
Can you redefine it?
I'm defining marufia as someone has a regular business relationship with someone else, to the extent that they're not looking for a better deal. But we're gonna have all of next week to like blow up all the assumptions in that statement. No, it's great. It's great. Like this is a new strange word that I didn't know yesterday.
Can you make it more succinct and call it a repeat customer?
Maybe, but maybe I'm a repeat customer because you have the best deal on a regular basis. Like, just happens to be. But once I start racking up those freaking flyer miles, then, like, I've decided that I just only fly Virgin America. Yeah. Okay. Didn't I say over to Kafadim? But then they provide technical reasons to why non-Jewish lenders, specifically, you can't treat taking their business as gezel, because their potential profits are considered to be hefker, and anyone who can get profits from them, they've succeeded in doing so. You could never say, oh, you're stealing my customers. In the same way you could say, according to Rabbeinu Gershom, you're stealing my fish. Okay? And then he says, V'chan haya Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Eli, B'chol Rabbeinu Shavin B'davar. Who are these people? What? Like, I went and looked in that sugya, and I tried to see, like, did Rabbi Eli say something? Did Rabbi Abba say something? At this point in time, a reasonable idea would be that at some point in time, there were Roshei Tevot that were contracted from some medieval authorities and then expanded to be Talmudic names. But it doesn't make any sense in context. Still a mystery. If anyone can figure it out, please let me know. Vod Rav Perek Kama Debar Metzia Dekamar Nafalo Aleha Opirish Teleto Aleha Ma'avirin oto heimenu. That's talking about a case of where there's peya. If someone like takes their peya is considered to be hefker. It's not owned by anyone. So if someone like makes a claim to it by draping their talit over it, you can still take the peya from that person. It's not considered stealing from them because kol hakodem bo zacha. Okay. Then we have the case of mavui hasatum, which I think is an example of ruinous competition. And why do I think that? Because it's umavoy hasatum b'shalosh tzadim. It's a dead end. Rak b'tzad echad yichnesu lo v'dar Reuven etzel sofo hasatum. Reuven lives in the nice place at the end of the dead end, which is the nicest place to live because you don't have so much traffic by your door. Uvashim l'dor k'neged hatzad hapatuach. He lives farther down, closer to the opening. She'en ha'oved kochav yochol le'lech im lo yelech tichila lifnei petach Shimon. It's impossible for any business to get to Reuven before it gets to Shimon. Nir diachol akev alav kidurav huna.
Why is that ruinous competition? Couldn't that just be stealing? Couldn't that be the analog to the fish case?
At this point in time, they haven't been compared. Let's say the Ginat Viradim will put the two all together. He will say the case of Mavi Satum is a case of the Dagim. But at this point in time, we just have this mysterious din where it looks like we paskin like Rav Huna. But I thought we didn't paskin like Rav Huna. So maybe we paskin like Rav Huna in a case, maybe the halacha happens to accord with Rav Huna in a case of a Mavi Satum, because it constitutes ruinous competition, which is the problem which is a problem with the dog game.
But unless you're saying that he's quoting some of the previous rumors, he said the problem with the dog game was Gazela.
It was a two-way machloka. The people who permitted Arufia, they said they forbade it because they said it's similar to the fish, and the people, all these double negatives are in my way. The people who said you can't steal people's customers, they said it's just like the fish, and the people who said you can steal people's customers, they said no, it's not like the fish, because the fish case is a case of Geza. So, now Machloket, you have some people saying it's like Gazelle, other people saying, no, it's just that you're sure they're going to come back. And so it's...
Which one, the fish or the customers?
The fish and the customers. Because both parties agree that we're trying to compare this to the fish. And the people who forbid say, no, this isn't like the fish because this is Gazelle. Or the fish is a case of Gazelle. This isn't. So it's a Machloket as to what the fish case is. But they all assume that we'd poskim like the fish case, which is cool.
Is stealing other people's customers is not gazelle?
That is... not agreed upon. No, the people...
according to that.
It would be Gezel, but in this case, there's a specific, in that case, specifically because the customers aren't Jewish, what they do with their money is like unknown up until the very last moment.
Okay.
So, it isn't Gezel to steal that business.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very technical exemption from the Isur of it. Should I go back over that, or...?
Yeah, could you go back over it, just explain why you don't want to make the connection between Remez, Tetzain, and the previous one? Why is...
Oh, I don't want to do that because he doesn't say it. Like, the Ginat Veradim says it explicitly.
But you're saying that because... People that say that is Usher saying it's Usher for Gezel because you're
Arufia?
Yeah, you're stealing about Arufia just like...
Right, Umidame Laladagim.
Right, what do the other people in that Machlok could say that's...
V'yesh mekomot she'ein danin umatirin li'Yisrael lilech lema Arufia shel chaveiro u'lahalvot lo.
Everyone agrees the Dagim is Gezel.
De'ein kan Gezel.
Right, so the only reason that Marufia is allowed is because it's Gezel. But...
No. Ooh. They say in this case, Arufia isn't Gezel... Because the customers that you're stealing, because of their nature, it isn't
right,
Gezel.
But they're saying that.
But were the customers to be Jewish, then it would be Gezel.
Would it be comparable to the fish case?
Yeah.
Excellent. So
both parties agree this is comparable to the fish case.
Okay.
The people who permit it on grounds on technical grounds external to the comparison
right.
to the fish case.
So the fish case, the problem with it, according to both tzadim, is that it's Gezel. It's Gezela to do that.
No, according to Rashi, it's just that you're sure they're going to come back. I'm suggesting that the first opinion holds more like Rashi, and the second opinion holds like Beno Gershom. Because the first people say, oh, you can't steal my customers, because that's just like the fish. But you're sure they're going to come back.
Okay, fine.
And then the second opinion says, no, it's permissible, because there is no Gezel here. And Beno Gershom is the one who read the fish as being about Gezel.
Okay.
Okay. Let's think really hard before we don't just let's just stop right now. Because we have about 15 minutes until dinner.
Yep.
So that was really long.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was really long.
How are you feeling?
Oops.
Equally as long as that. As much as